The following podcast is a presentation of the Washington College of Law at American University. Any unauthorized use or distribution is strictly prohibited.
Why don't we get started? Welcome to press session and information session. If you're looking at PowerPoint, I'm sure so you don't have any issues with them. Okay, so what's the purpose of the PMF program? According to George W. Bush, the purpose of the program is to attract to federal service outstanding men and women from a variety of academic and career paths. Interesting commitment to excellence in leadership and management of public policies and programs. Really what this means is highly qualified students who are interested in public service should be looking into the PMF program. The next thing is, what exactly is the PMF program? It's the premier program for leadership development in the federal civil service. It's a two-year full-time federal government fellowship position. It's geared towards graduate students who expect to complete an advanced degree that's a master's law or doctorate level degree. Assignments may involve domestic, international issues, technology, science, legal is the bottom line. Is that all you guys care about at the moment? Maybe you care about some other things, which is great, but it has many, many other fields and a lot of different programs as well. But obviously public service oriented. So let's give a little bit of what the background on the program. It was created in 1997 to attract graduate students to public service. In 1982, they opened the program to non-public policy students, which, yay, great for law students, right? And even better, in 2003, this program actually used to be called the PMI program, which was a Presidential Management Intern program, but now it's called the Fellows program, which is terrific. So good change, George W. And even better, we lifted the annual hiring cap of 400 positions to even higher. It's actually pretty incredible. I think that, which we'll get into a little bit later, but sort of the negative about this is maybe a little bit of the timing of the hiring, but realistically, it's a really, really terrific option for people who are interested in government. And again, we'll get more into it. So succession planning, this is also very interesting. The PMF program is encouraging applicants working on the following graduate degrees to apply to the program. Of course, you guys already know this, the law degree. One of the things that's actually really interesting is apparently, this is what I've been told and this is what the PMF program is sort of indicating, is that the federal government is undergoing an unprecedented human capital transition, which apparently means that a bunch of positions in middle management are going to be opening up in the next few years, which is actually pretty terrific for you guys and pretty terrific for this program. So that's something to keep in mind in terms of the kind of positions that you may be able to get in something like this. So why do you want to apply to the PMF program? There's lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is it's a prestigious stepping stone, highly visible and respected leadership positions in the government. This is extremely true. I have to tell you guys, all the WCL PMF alumni, terrific, amazing, amazing positions. Things that you otherwise would not get if you were just applying through honors programs. They work in the State Department. They work in the Executive Office of the, they work in the Management and Budget Office. Really, really terrific things that otherwise you may not have the opportunity to be looking at. Rotation with different government agencies or units. One of the things you get to do as a PMF is you can be in one agency, but you get to rotate in different units within that agency and sometimes in different agencies, which is really cool because you get some different and broad experiences, which is kind of nice, not necessarily something you get in a typical government position. Accelerated promotions and networking opportunities, and what they mean by that is that you actually can move up the pay grade very quickly, which of course we're going to talk about, don't worry. And then there's networking opportunities. There's a whole PMF network of people, which is actually pretty terrific, in addition to the people that you meet. One thing that I think, and tell me if I'm talking too fast, you guys, okay? And one thing that I think you should know is that there are PMF offices in many of the government agencies, and they deal specifically with PMF positions and people who are applying for PMF positions. So it's actually like, in addition to the recruiting office that might deal with an honors program, there's a PMF office that deals completely with different kinds of positions. It's just something to keep in mind to show you how varied this program can be. And basically, you would also get positions, which I think is this one, eligibility for entry-level positions you would not otherwise open to other applicants. So that's exactly what I just explained. Like, for example, if there's an honors program that's open to as many people who want to apply for entry-level positions to the PMF program or PMF finalists, which we'll get there, only those people can apply for those positions. It's pretty cool. An agency not accepted from the competitive service must appoint a fellow non-competitively to a full-time permanent position upon satisfactory completion of the program of fulfillment of citizenship requirements. Pretty cool. Basically, if you don't screw up in your 2 years there and everything runs smoothly, you're almost guaranteed a position, which is training. Okay? Yeah? Good. All right. Accelerated promotion potential. Of course, this is what you guys want to know. GS, you guys would be appointed at GS 9, 11, or 12 in the equivalent based on your qualifications. So maybe some of you have worked before you've gone to law school. Some of you have some unique experience that may change what grade you're appointed at. Promotion potential up to GS 13. We're going to get to numbers in a minute. The typical career path with limited prior experience is you're appointed at a GS 9, step 1, or the equivalent. 1 year anniversary, you move to GS 11, and then by the time of the program completion, you're at GS 12. So really, what does this mean? It means appointment at any step 1 through 10 within grade 9, 11, or 12. GS 9, step 1 in DC, about $48,000. GS 11, $58,000 in DC, and GS 12, $69,000. A PMF may be promoted up to the GS 13 level or its equivalent during their appointment, which is actually $82,000. So, I mean, this is, you know, from a public interest perspective. Great. Sorry, I forgot for a moment. What was I thinking? It actually is pretty terrific, yeah. Okay, so other program components, which is great, 80 hours of formal classroom training. PMF orientation takes up 24 of these hours. The rest of the 80 hours you can actually complete during work time, which is terrific. There's forums on specific topics, and up to 8 hours are counted each time you attend one of these forums. There's also developmental opportunities. What we're talking about before is that you can rotate within units, and so you can use a 4 to 6 month developmental assignment, is what they call it, or one short-term rotation possible. That's sort of the same thing. And again, the PMF support network. Other program components, this is also terrific. Full health benefits, including life insurance, health insurance, paid holidays, annual, and sick leave, transit subsidy, and a three-part retirement program that includes administrative benefits, a 401k type plan, and a defined benefit component. Potential for agency participation in a federal loan repayment program. This is terrific for you guys. It isn't a ton of money. $10,000 per employee per calendar, and total payment $60,000 per employee. A lot of money. Non-competitive appointment to a full-time permanent position upon successful completion of the program. I realize we're being really important things about the So, this is the fun part. The PMS stages, and I'm going to get way in depth on all of these. These are just sort of coming out to list what this all is. Students submit an online application via USA Jobs. When you do that, and once you do that, you are an applicant. Nominating officials at schools nominate applicants based on school criteria. You are then the nominee. The OPM invites nominees to a structured assessment center. You then become a finalist depending on how you do on this assessment, and I'm going to get to all that. The finalists secure positions with a federal agency, and that's when you become a fellow. Okay? Does anybody have questions about this? You're an applicant when you're applying. You're a nominee once WCL has nominated you. You become a finalist once you successfully pass this assessment test, and you become a fellow once you secure a position. All right? Applicant eligibility. Again, we talked about this. You have to be a graduate student from anywhere that's graduate student, all academic disciplines, but you have to have completed your degree during the 2008-2009 academic year, which is September 1st, 2009. Next part is, again, more applicant eligibility stuff. Applicants may apply to the PMF program only during the year they will complete and satisfy graduate degree requirements, master or doctoral level. Does that make sense? You can apply and participate in the PMF nomination selection process only once for graduate degree, okay? And you must be nominated by your school to be eligible to participate in the assessment process to determine PMF finalists. Again, we're going to talk all about this, and I'll explain to you how WCL does their nomination process. International student eligibility. International students can apply to PMF and service PMFs as long as they meet the eligibility requirement and as long as they are legally eligible to work in the U.S., okay? Some agencies are prohibited from hiring non-U.S. citizens, so that obviously would play a part in the kind of positions you would get. After the two-year fellowship, PMFs must be U.S. citizens in order to convert to permanent federal government employment. All right, PMF application process. This is an overview, okay? PMF has set an application open period Wednesday, October 1st through Wednesday, October 15th. These dates are subject to change. I'm going to stop here and I just want to say a few things. Obviously, it's a very short application period, right? There is not that much to do on this application. You are going to be able to complete it in a short period of time. Do not wait until the 14th to complete it. Look at it as soon as it opens. You can get to it through these two sites, you can either get it through USA Jobs or you can go to the PMF site and get it this way. One of the things I want to say is the last 2 years, and this is obviously because it's a little bit of a problem on our end, they've changed these things all around, like right before. We've been assured that's not going to happen this year, but this is why I wrote the sign-in sheet. This is why I'm telling you guys, please, please sign in, because this is the only way I'm going to be able to communicate with you about this information. Obviously, if there are other people who are not here who you know are interested, please tell them to send me an email so I have their information. Okay, and I can have their sign-in sheet. So sign-in sheet wherever you are. You guys make sure don't leave without signing. And also take the notes. Okay, so this is the process. I'm going to get more into it, but please, October 1st, open up this application, take a look at it. It's one of those things that you can work on as you go. It's not too in-depth, so please, please don't worry. In fact, no one even sees your resume until you become finalist. It's great, right? Okay. Nomination. Each school and college at AGU has its own PMF application process that may have additional application deadlines. So our process is different than SIS, it's different than COGOT, okay? Just keep that in mind. And so you guys just need to make sure the process is. You obviously are here trying to confirm it. We've designated a nominating official, the engrossment nominating coordinator, me, but I'm also handling all of the nomination stuff, just so you all know, because applicants are nominated by the school's dean, chairperson, or academic program director of their graduate program. The nominating official, don't worry too much about this. Okay, nomination process. Students completing application are required to print a nomination form to submit to me for consideration. Nominating officials will ensure that you meet our deadlines, which I'm going to talk about, or our eligibility criteria. And if you are a veteran, you need to submit proof of veteran status. What the nominating official has to do is fax the nominating form that you will give to us by October 31st. And that's, we make our decisions and that's how you all get nominated. I'm going to explain this more. I know this sounds a little odd right now. Okay, here we go. WCL application process. No later than October 15th, students should submit to me in the Office of Career and Professional Development your nomination form, number two, a resume, and number three, a brief personal statement, no longer than one page, describing your interest and commitment to public service. We'll get a little bit into what that means in the next few slides. So this is all we're asking you to do. If you do this, okay, you are most likely going to get nominated. It's not like we are looking at this really, I mean, it's important that you have to do this to get nominated. I have to have a nominating form from you, I have to have a resume, and I have to have a personal statement, okay? That's how you get nominated. Most of the time, there isn't going to be an issue with that, unless I get a one-sentence, like, you know, essay. That would be a problem, right? Which I don't draw a lot of students in. Okay, so, not to worry about that. But the second thing is that you have to submit the PMF application online by the PMF deadline of October 15th. So, our sort of internal process, which is this, kind of coincides with this, you have to fill the online application out by October 15th, okay? So really, all you need to think is October 15th is a big deadline for you. Make sure that online application is done, but then also make sure that by that date, you submit the nomination form, the resume, and a brief personal statement, okay? Is everybody cool on that? Do you have questions on that? Not yet. Yes.
I have questions about where to get the nomination.
You get it? Okay, great question. That will come up in slides. You guys probably, no, that's a great question, but we'll go through the slides. The nomination form is going to be part of the application. And in addition, if you look on the facts, any of you guys can get the handouts, they will say that if for some reason there might be some issue with the nominating form printing out, you can print blank ones on the OPM site, and that's fine to give me a blank one. You should fill out certain information, and that information is indicated in the facts about what you need to fill out, like your name or whatever. Okay? Important reminder, we know you have to confirm the process. If anybody's confused, do not hesitate to email me, do not hesitate to call me. The worst thing I want to see happen, because I really think this is such a great program, is someone like just got confused and thought October 16th was the date they could hand in their essays, okay? So, criteria for school nomination, and this is what I was talking about a little bit in your essay. Commitment to excellence in leading and managing public policies and programs, okay? Breadth and quality of accomplishment and your capacity for leadership. That's great. Let me tell you what all those mean, right? I'm in that. Okay. So what's an example of a commitment to excellence in public policies and programs? So that whole, hold on one second. I have notes in addition to you. Okay. Oh, it's here. Okay. work experience in government or public service. So in your essay, you might want to say, well, look what I've done in the past with government. You know, look what I've done with some of my internships. You know, maybe I've served in the military. What about government-related extracurricular activities? You guys all do tons and tons of activities here, and some of them, I'm sure, may be government-related or not. You might want to include that in your essay, okay? Examples of relative quality of accomplishments, your participation in volunteer community organizations, broad range of interests, community improvement academic activities, overall academic excellence, but may I tell you, your GPA is not, there is not a GPA requirement for this, okay? Just so you know that. But academic achievements for awards, okay? So you might want to also write a little bit about that in your essay. And then examples of capacity for leadership, that you've had leadership positions in school, in the community, in volunteer organizations, or leadership potential as evidenced by confidence in specific areas, decisiveness, flexibility, interpersonal skills, oral written communication, integrity and honesty, team building, problem solving, influencing, and negotiating. All nominees will be, okay, this is important. All nominees will be invited to participate in a structured, proctored, half-day assessment process, okay? So let's say you guys do everything you're supposed to do, and we nominate you as a PMF, you are a nominee, okay? The next step in order to become a finalist is to go through this assessment process, okay? This is literally a pen and paper test, all right? It's thick, and it doesn't stick. It's great. It's actually lost. Every time I think pen and paper, I'm like, oh my God. Law schools and law students were really excited about this because guess what? Critical thinking part, guess what that's like? Yeah, logic in the LSAT. Bring it on. Written communication, right? Come on, I mean, right? Seriously, written communication, do you want to know what that is? You have to find the grammar mistakes in paragraphs. I mean, you are doing reading comprehension. I mean, this isn't like a five-year-old test, and that's not what it's like at all. I mean, this is really serious, and it's a big deal. But these are all things that you guys have great writing skills, and you have great abilities, and you can do really well in assessing tests like this. The last part actually is really cool. They'll give you, it's life experiences, right? So they'll give you something like, you know, what would you do in this situation? And they'll give you a scenario, and they'll ask you to write about it, and they'll ask you to explain how you would conduct yourself. And that's how they test the leadership. And I actually think that's pretty interesting. And so for me, I wouldn't like the critical thinking part because logic games is really, really difficult, right? But written communication, I mean, that's something that's great. You guys are all excellent writers. So that's it's working through grammar. One of the things I do want to say is that what we're going to do is have a workshop to give you in-depth information about the assessment process, okay? This is something new that they started just 2 years ago. What they used to have was this long day where you'd go through interviews, and that's kind of, they had like you were semi-finalists and you were finalists. They've switched the process, okay? And literally it's just this one test. About 3,000 to 4,000 people are nominees, get nominated by their school. After this assessment test, somewhere between about 600 to 750 people, 750 people become finalists. Okay, so literally there's a cutoff based on numbers. Okay, not that we're in law school, we all know that this is how that works with the testing, okay? But unfortunately, it is the sole criteria for getting from the nominee phase to the finalist phase.
Does the date of that exam fluctuate, or is it?
Well, they're given all over. No, there's one date for it, and they're given all over the country. And we're gonna talk a little bit about the dates, but it's in late January is when it's scheduled now. These are, for example, that is something that I can see changing. But that's why you have to sort of keep an eye on emails from us and the OPM website or the PMF website. Okay, so I just went over a little bit of this, but determination of finalists. Nominees will be rated and ranked to include any applicable veterans' preference with cutoff scores based on assessment scores. That's what I just told you. OPM will announce finalists for the PMF class of 2009 in late February to mid-March. This is sort of the time frame I was telling you about. So you guys are applying for this in October. You're not taking the assessment until the end of January. You're not finding out if you're a finalist until late February or mid-March. Maybe that makes some people nervous. I don't know. It shouldn't, okay? I don't want it to. I don't want you guys in the general job search to be waiting this long. That's not what I'm saying. This is one option of the many things you're thinking about doing, right? So, yes, this is a spring. Yes, it's kind of near graduation. But the good thing is that there are a lot of opportunities once you become a finalist to be able to look for a position, okay, which I will talk more about. So OPM will post the 2009 finalists on the PMF website and notify nominees and academic institutions, okay? So we'll learn about this somewhere in February. Yes?
Are all finalists guaranteed a position?
I'm going to get to that. Is that all right? The answer is no, but I'll explain a little bit more about that. PMF placement process. Okay, so the finalists are invited to attend a PMF job fair in the spring, attended by participating federal agencies, okay? Finalists have access to online PMF projected positions system, PPS, to identify agency positions, and you have 12 months from the date you are selected to be appointed to agency positions, okay? Let me explain this a little bit. You shouldn't necessarily, there's a wonderful job fair just for PMF finalists, okay, which is terrific. It's kind of like a job fair, you know, I mean, it's a great opportunity. It is a way to find your PMF job. The other way to find your PMF job is through this PPS. Do not wait until the career fair to look for your job. Begin looking for your job as early as you find out that you're a finalist, because it may be a month or two before it's usually about a month that they usually have this job fair. It's a great way to find a job, but you can get a jump start on it. The reason they allow 12 months from the date you're selected to be a finalist to secure a job is because of careers, okay? But it's also because it may take a little while to find something. You guys know many, or maybe you don't know, but many government agencies, even though they have a really significant clearance process, will allow you to start work with your clearance pending, which is which is great. So it's gonna depend. Is this okay to that answer? Well, that's an answer. So online application is available October 1st. I'm just reviewing these. Students submit online applications by October 15th. Nominating officials submit nominees by October 31st. Nominees complete assessments in January. Finalists are notified in late February to mid-March. The job fair is in March, and agencies hire finalists one full year from selection of the finalists, which means you have a full year. People get hired much quicker in certain instances, so don't be like, oh my goodness gracious, I'm going to have to wait till March, you know, the year after I graduate law school. That's not necessarily going to be the case at all. PMF statistics. And, you know, one thing before we get here, I just wanted to mention to you, and I know that I mentioned this earlier, but I just wanted to repeat it. About 3,000 to 4,000 people apply, okay? And once, I'm just trying to find my notes with the exact numbers, and then once you take the assessment, you're down to about 750 to 800 finalists. Finally, just because you're a finalist, it doesn't mean you're a fellow, okay? You have to secure a job, and that's how you become a fellow. There's about 400 or 500 fellows each year, okay? The drop-off in jobs from the finalists to the fellows doesn't necessarily have to do with people not getting jobs, okay? You're not guaranteed a job, but oftentimes it has to do with people just not wanting to wait so long for the clearances, and something else comes up in the meantime, or they haven't found a PMF position, even though they're a PMF finalist, but they have secured something else in another government organization or with some other position they've decided to take, okay? So that's just sort of why there's that drop-off when there's 750 or 800 finalists and really about 400 or 500 fellows, all right? Okay, PMF statistics. Here we go. I did not do this. This is the people who are nominated, right? So as you can tell, it keeps going up and up and up. So we're looking at, what, 3,500? These are the finalists, okay? The good thing is each year keeps going higher, higher, and higher. And these are the people who actually become fellows, the green line. So that's just to sort of show you what things look like. PMF locations, you can just look at that, lots of different places. Most of them are in Washington, D.C., but if you're interested in going somewhere else, you're not on the clock at all. Here's some additional resources, if you're interested. And this is actually really interesting, it's something you guys should know. AU has a really strong record with PMF, okay? For the past 2 years, AU has been number 3 in the country in the number of PMF finalists. And for the 2 years previous, 2005 and 2006, AU is number 1, okay? Which means we send a lot of people applying, a lot of people secure positions, okay? Other post-grad programs, which is going to be so important for you guys. If you have any questions, here's my information and my email address, okay? So, do you guys have any questions? Because it's really important that you understand the process.
I'm just wondering if you know how the behind the scenes works against, like, the Department of Justice.
Yeah, this is way later. I mean, this is definitely way later. You would find out by this from the Department of Justice, like, way, I mean, probably before you would even find out if you were, probably even before you took the assessment. They went through the assessment part of this. So, and if you're nominated by school, you can not go through the nomination. You don't have to go through the next stage. So
for right now, just to make sure, none of the forms and materials are available. We just sit back waiting.
I know. Yes, that is true. And this is why I wanted you guys, who has not signed the sign-in sheet, and if you haven't circulated to a part of the room, make sure everyone signed it. Everyone signed it. Okay. The reason that's a big deal is because right now, as far as I know, October 1st is the day that it's opening up, okay? Are you on your computer checking?
No.
Okay. I was like, I'd be happy to be proved wrong. This is what they're telling us, okay, is that it will not open until October 1st. And when it does, you've got 2 weeks to complete the application. So, yes, that is the deadline. That is a short period. But nobody's asking you to write a 20-page essay when that opens. Yes.
Oh, speaking of 20-page essays, I kid. for the personal statement, for the nomination, presumably there's no reason we couldn't start on that now.
No, of course. Happy to see those. I mean, I'm not reading and reviewing. But I would suggest that you hand in everything. I tell you, actually, hand in everything to me at once. Don't hand me the nomination form, then the resume, then hand it in as a packet.
Right, but just wondering, what sort of length are you looking for on this?
That's what I said. About one page. If it's a half, I said no longer than one page.
Okay.
So it depends on how long you feel like, you know. Again, a sentence is not going to be enough. You know, if it's 3/4 of a page, that should be fine. Yes.
How does this play into the whole looking for job? Should we be telling potential employers that we're
No, I mean, you know, listen, I assume we're all three of them here, is that right? No one else? Okay. No, I asked that question because there's a just wanted to. You know, it's another job you're applying for. When you go in for an interview, you don't tell every employer that you're looking for a job. You know what I mean?
Sample when you're looking for a search. So that you can, so that they're aware that if you get it, you're going to take it.
Tell the clerk?
Sure. Like, if you're applying for a firm and you're applying for clerkships as well.
Yeah, the clerkships are, that's a different story. Because if you get the clerkship, you have to take it. And the firms also want to see, oftentimes, that you're going for a clerkship. This is a different story. And I don't feel like you're going to run into that much of a problem with this based on the timing of it. Do you know what I'm saying? If someone may come out and ask you, I've had this happen to me in interviews numerous times, are you in a job search now? Where else are you looking? And if that happens, you do have to be honest. And let's say this is your first choice and you are going to turn down everything else that's offered to you if you're going to wait for this, probably good to be upfront. You know, it's kind of like on the resume when we're always saying, you know, don't, your GPA is like 3.51, don't write like 3.55. You know what I mean? Or don't, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. So it's sort of similar. If you're asked, I really need to talk about it. But based on the timing, you have to figure out those issues. Next.
Is there any more ways to locate the first assessment here?
Yeah. As far as I know, and I need to double check online, there is a 17-page sort of explanation that the PMF program has put online. I don't think it's on there yet, but will be on there. So in the address is in the PowerPoint. The PMF is like opm.pmf.gov or pmf.gov. So you can look on there. But the other thing is we're going to be having workshops where we're going to bring in alumni who've gone through the assessment process to talk about what it is. And there's also sort of these workshops are sort of going to talk to you more about what the assessment day is going to look like and what kind of questions people are getting and sort of strategies and tips for how to deal with that. So, but there is a document. They haven't been giving, they're not giving a ton of information. Like, it's not where you're doing the LSAT or the bar or whatever where you're getting all these old practice tests and things like that. It's not like that, but there is definitely a 17-page guide that is giving you information about what the assessment day is going to look like and what they're looking for. I mean, really, like, I think it's great for law students. I think you guys are able to do so well on that, you know?
Do law students go up against, you know, like med students and MBAs and stuff like that in the assessment?
Yeah,
and it's all one assessment for everyone.
Yeah, it's all one assessment for everyone. The one thing I do want to say, sorry, and I wasn't clear about this, and I think you guys are probably clear about this, these aren't necessarily legal jobs. Like, you're not walking into an attorney job or, you know, a counsel position or, you know, something like that. And it's more law-related, maybe a non-traditional legal job where a law degree is required and people are really excited about you having a law degree, but you are not walking into a staff attorney position. Okay? Are people cool with that?
It's not deferrable, is it? If you pass, the test is just good for that one.
If you want, I'm sorry, what?
Like, if you pass the test, you have to compete for a fellowship for that year.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing, you know how it said that you can only apply once per degree per year? The only thing I can think is that you could maybe apply if you're doing a dual degree where it's the next year, because you would get your law degree in the one year and the other degree in the next year. But even then, I'm not sure, and we'd have to double check with the PMF people to make sure that that's okay. Yeah.
So it depends on how many people the school can nominate.
Nope. And that's what I'm telling you. Honestly, if you guys need to do what you need to do, this is not like you're going to get nominated. You know, we just want to make sure that, you know, that you are showing an interest and that this is something you're committed to. And, you know, as long as you see your resume and things like that, it's good. No, there's not on this.
How do you honor nominations that get submitted to you?
It could be
email.
Actually, because the nomination form needs to be printed out and faxed by me to their office, I would like it actually all. I'm sorry about the paper. I would like to see it in your resume, your statement, and your nomination form all in one, and just submit it, and they'll know at our front desk when you come down there where it's supposed to go. Is that cool? I'm so sorry about the training. That's really awful, but I just think it is awful. I just think that it's probably a better way to do it. If for some reason you feel like you're putting your resume and your personal statement on the same sheet paper, that's great.
So the jobs that you do, like the people looking for, will see our personal statements? Or
no, I'm the only person that sees them. Okay. This is what I'm saying. The internal process, not me, our office, the internal process is what we've created in order to nominate people. And what I feel is that, and what we feel, and what, you know, everyone feels is appropriate for people that we want to nominate for AU, is that you write an essay that expresses your interest, that you submit a resume, and that you give us a nomination form. Some schools don't even have people submit anything but just the nomination form. Some people have their schools meet with everybody who's interested. That's why we're saying all of the schools have different processes. But our process has been in the past, it will be again this year, is that people submit their resume and nomination form and this essay.
Because I'm a visiting student, as
yes,
you know,
yes.
Will I have to be nominated through my school in California and American?
No, I think you need to be nominated just by your school in California, but let me double check on that and get back to you, because that's a little more, heck no, because you're visiting here now. Did we talk about that too, did we talk about this? I can't remember.
We just touched upon it. We didn't
have to talk to somebody else. But anyway, yeah, let me double check on it. All right. Other? Yes.
Just out of the number of people who you've nominated, and clearly some people decide that or get other jobs in the meantime, but how many finalists are there usually per year coming from WCL?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. And I think what's been a little bit difficult is to track that.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, I just don't know the statistics or the numbers. I do know that we've been pretty successful. And I think that that's a really good thing. I think sort of the harder part is getting to the fellow point, because some people are accepting other jobs while they're waiting to figure out what's going on with the program, you know? But I sort of have to stress again, like, there are such terrific positions offered through this program, and I don't want you guys to wait the job search. I want you to do everything else you have to do to, you know, keep, you know, look for jobs and try to secure something. But this is something where it might, you know, if this is something you really want to do and there's a position you really want, and come March you haven't really secured anything else that you're loving, you know, or even you want to wait for it, it would be a good thing. I mean, there are some really, really terrific positions available through this program.
Is there any way to see, like, I don't know, a list of prior positions from the past, like, just to get an idea of what are these?
It's on the website. There's not something that I have particularly, but I think, or specifically there, I think on the website you can check and find that information, but let me just write that down.
It is on the website.
Okay, great. Thank you, whoever just said that. Okay, so it's on the website.
Yes. When in the process do you agree you're being brought in on?
Yeah. It's on this wonderful fact sheet. Nobody looks at your resume until you're a finalist. Because that's when you, but you have to upload your resume. Your resume is going to need to be uploaded on USA Jobs. But you're not asked for it. I'm so sorry. I don't mean to be rude. I'm so sorry. We're being podcast, so everybody can hear everything you say. No, no, it's okay. I'm so sorry. I need to be that person. But they'll hear your conversation and not me. So that you won't be asked to upload it until you're a finalist. I mean, you won't be asked to upload it in the application process, but you won't be until you're a finalist. The same with letter of recommendations and things like that.
I know someone asked this already. What do you guys look for? Do you focus on experience as much as the transfer?
I think you watched a little late, so I want you to steal this. And there's a whole process, and I'm happy to talk to you about it afterwards. But basically, we're asking you to give us a resume. We're asking you to give us a nomination form, which is the only way that I can nominate you. And then also to give us an essay which discusses sort of your commitment to public service work. And then there's a few different things in the PowerPoint presentation that'll talk to you a little bit about, like, maybe have you worked in the government before? What are your leadership skills? What kind of things you've done in the community? What is your academic background? Like, I don't need to see your transcript and all that, but in your essay, I assume you're going to write a little bit about why you're committed to public service and why you became the person for the PMF program.
I have another question.
Sure.
Can you talk a little bit about the exam? I think there's an exam you take once.
I think you definitely did come in a little bit late, which is okay. It's all right.
I could talk to you after.
Yeah, maybe.
Not to hold people up.
Well, I don't know. Do other people, are there other questions? Because I'm not 100%. Are there other questions? Everyone feel, okay, this is, I mean, and we can definitely talk after. This is, again, I'm going to stress, if you are confused at all or have any questions or there's any discrepancies, I mean, it's really important to get this process right, and I just want to make sure, when do you guys have to give me your stuff? Do you know by October 15th, right? The resume, the essay, and the nomination form. If you have any problems, that is, you know, please, please, please let me know. I want to make sure you don't have any problems. We want to make sure we deal with it. If you have any questions, we want to make sure we're talking to people. This is a great program. We really want to see as many fellows as we can. You know, so to the extent that we can help you, please let us know. Or to be fit. And, I mean, I'm surprised because actually we have a lot of questions about what kind of jobs and what about more stuff about the resumes and more stuff about, which is totally okay because we're going to have another session. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff to sort of okay? Cool. Thank you. Oh, be sure.